In the West, there are still a few good men left. Men of God, like the circuit riding preachers of old. Proclaiming truth like the holy prophets of old. Strong and bold. You're about to hear politically incorrect, but biblically correct truth from circuit riding preacher Peter Peters, whose home base is a radio ranch nestled in the Laramie River Valley near Laramie, Wyoming. The Radio Ranch is a working cattle and horse ranch where circuit riding preacher Peter Peters broadcasts nightly worldwide on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, reaching the world through satellite, radio, television, shortwave, and the World Wide Web. Riding for the brand, he preaches for the man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. His circuit not only includes a radio ranch outreach in Wyoming, but also the LaPorte Church of Christ, located at the base of the colorful Colorado Rocky Mountains in LaPorte, Colorado, where he has preached for over 30 years. The messages preached there by Dr. Peters on Sunday morning are streamed live on the internet and are archived at the ministry website, scripturesforamerica.org. Dr. Peters' politically incorrect but biblically correct sermons are available on CD and DVD. Many in America, Canada, and all over the world are on the free CD and DVD ministry. Our address will be given at the end of this broadcast. And now, here is Dr. and Pastor Peter John Peters with the Word of God.
Again, I welcome those that might just be joining us on radio, satellite, or internet to this sermon this Sunday, 28th of June, 2009. Our Father in heaven, grant an anointing now on the message, on the speaker, on the airways that carry it, even upon the ground that receive the words, the truth, the seeds planted, that they bear fruit. Lord, it's time for that damnable deceiver that's been perched up there in that temple, high and mighty like, thinking that no one's going to find him out. Oh, Heavenly Father, reveal now to the people. Pull the scales off their eyes and let them see what they got in these pulpits in the land today, and that they got what they wanted. They heaped them to themselves, teachers after their own desires, and then let them look around at the world today with a half-black president that takes this very month and dedicates it to a bunch of filthy faggot queers and call it Gay Pride Month. Oh, God Almighty, open the eyes of the people and stop the spell and send the spellcasters into hell. Lord Jesus, in thy name we pray, with thy authority we say, DC sorcery cease, satanic strongholds release, Baals be broken and bound, and with all idols be cast down. Stop the spells and send the spellcasters into hell. Lord Jesus, cause it to be, and we thank you for the victory. In Jesus' name, amen. You don't think there's been a spell cast in this land? I tell you, I was just reading last night. Grabbed a book off one of the bookshelves in my office. I haven't read it, but parts of it. About Billy Sunday. Now, he was a preaching away somewhere around 1920, at his heyday in 20 in the 30s. That wasn't that long ago, and I'd sat down with old Billy, although Billy never won a soul to Christ in his life. Because you don't win anybody to Jesus Christ until you have them do what the Bible says to do. And that's not some signing some evangelistic card or coming up front and saying the sinner's prayer. It's doing what Peter the Apostle, Holy Spirit-inspired Apostle, said to do. But anyway, if I had a chance to chat with old Billy, I'd say to him, Billy, you ought to see what it's like where I'm preaching today. And if I told him that today we have a half-black Muslim or God-forsaken whatever he is, what he believes in, I don't know, president, who took a month of June of 2009 and dedicated it to a bunch of filthy sodomites as Gay Pride Week, you think he would have believed me? You talk about modesty, Billy. Boy, you ought to see how people live today. If I told him how they look today, I couldn't even tell brother word. And that wasn't that many decades back. He couldn't have believed it either. You tell me we're not in some kind of a spell where we've been deceived, and you tell me where are these preachers that are supposed to be preaching against this stuff. We're going to be looking today at Jeremiah chapter 23, where God says, woe to you preachers. And the very first scripture we're going to go to is Jeremiah 23, verse 1. I want you to know that the title of this message is Deceiving and Being Deceived. We are in those very days that Paul wrote about in 2 Timothy. Chapter 3, I think it's somewhere around verse 13, that talks about deceiving and being deceived. Deception is a very dangerous sin. And 2 Thessalonians man, the man of sin and lawlessness, is a man that represents a group of men. Now, we covered that in that message called The Man of Sin Revealed. And we pointed out that that is one of the ways God works it in prophecy. The Bible says those who deny that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, those, that's a plurality. Those who deny that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, this is the Antichrist. That's singular. And so the singular can represent the plural, or the plural can represent the singular. And when you read about that single man in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the man of sin and the man of lawlessness, who is a man of deception, you're reading about a group of men. And where do you suppose those men are? And why do you suppose we have so much sin in the land today? Because of the kind of men we have where they're placed today. At least Billy Sunday may not have gotten the plan of salvation right, but he was hell on sin. Those old boys knew how to preach against sin just like old brother Word did. If they could see, I mean, they could not have fathomed the filth and the hog slop that we are wallowing in as a society today. They could not have fathomed it. But they've given it to us so slowly, bit by bit by bit. Now, as I pointed out in that booklet called The Man of Sin and Lawlessness, if you have in your society termites, but on every street corner, every other corner anyway, you have a termite eradication company, that they're coming against termites. They're stopping termites. And their job is to prevent termites from destroying society. And then you look around and you see all the houses are crumbling and tumbling down. Termite-ridden they are from the foundation up. What would you think? Well, in this spellcast society, people think, well, you know, termite inspection and termite eradication is a tough job. We need to get more money to these termite companies so they can stop the termites. That might be one group of people believing it that way, and the termite companies are more willing to say, send more money. We got to do something here. And then there'll be another group say, I'm not sending you a dime. You're not doing your job. Both groups are wrong. Because we are living in a time of such deception, we don't understand that these so-called termite companies are not against termites, they're for them. Their job is to appear to be against them, but I tell you what, you don't have to be some kind of rocket scientist to figure out that they're for sin, not against sin. They're not standing up against sin in this land today like those old preacher boys did in days gone by in this country. Why? Because they are the man. And I'm trying to get you to hate them. And I want to tell you something. The day is coming when the scales are going to be removing. And people are going to start seeing like they did in the days of Elijah. And they're going to see them for what they are, a bunch of dirty, lying, deceiving, spell-casting, sorcery-practicing Baal priests. And may they go to hell faster the better. Amen. Now, what we got here in Jeremiah chapter 23 is a prophecy. It is not only a prophecy that pertained to the day and age that Jeremiah wrote in, but it pertains to the day and age that we now live in, which is a day of deception, of deceiving and being deceived. And we see in Jeremiah 23, verse 1, starting there, "Woe! Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the shepherds who are tending my people. You have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not attended to them. Behold, I'm about to tend to you for the evil of your deeds." Now, leave it right there. I am about to tend to you for the evil of your deeds, declares the Lord. For the evil of your deeds. Now, I want you to know something. They didn't appear evil to the people. They were deceivers. They were men of God. They were the prophets. They were the shepherds. And God says, "I'm going to expose you, boys. I'm going to attend to you for the evil that you're doing." Now, you say, "Well, you sound an awful hard." I tell you what, the Word of God is hard. It says, "Be not many of you teachers, knowing that as such you shall receive severe judgment." It's one thing, I tell you, it's one thing to say, "Well, I want to be a preacher." It's another thing to say, "I have a calling to be." And there's an awful lot of them that just felt that that would be their calling of choice. And there's a difference between that and someone that's called. And I remember Brother Word, he took his old gray mustache and he twisted it. He had once been a handsome man, black-haired. He was old at the time, and he said, "Don't any of you," and he said it in chapel and Bible college, he said, "Don't any of you be preachers. None of you. Unless you cannot stand to be anything else but a preacher." There's a difference. As we read on, go back to that scripture, we'll find out that God didn't call these guys. It says, "And have not attended to them. Behold, I'm about to attend to you for the evil of your deeds, declares the Lord. Then I myself shall gather the remnant of my flock." And I want you to know that I know there is a remnant out there, and God's going to rebuild things with that remnant. It's not the masses. "Then I myself shall gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and shall bring them back to their pasture, and they shall be fruitful and multiply." Now, what does it mean? We're going to go to 2 Thessalonians 2:6 next. What does it mean when God says, "I am about to tend to you to be to tend to you in the evil of your deeds"? I believe that what he's talking about ties in to this prophecy that's right here in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 6. We read, "And you know what restrains him," that's the man of sin and lawlessness, "so that in his time he may be revealed." And I believe that that's what that means there in Jeremiah 23 when he says, "I'm going to tend to you." That is that he is going to see to it that these boys are revealed. Exposed, that word means to be uncovered. Jeremiah 23 is a dual prophecy, as we see in verse 20. That'll be our next verse in Jeremiah 23. God hates Esau. I want you to get that down. And Obadiah describes the fiery, wrathful destruction of his hate for Esau, Edom. And God said in his anger in Jeremiah 23:20, The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has performed and carried out the purposes of his heart. In the last days, you will clearly understand it. Now notice that this is Jeremiah 23, talking about woe to the shepherds who are destroying the sheep. But he says, in the last days, you're going to understand it. So this is a last day prophecy. There are prophecies in Scripture that are dual prophecies. It certainly applied to Jeremiah's day, no doubt. But he's saying in the last days, you're going to understand it. And I believe in the last days, you're going to understand what these people are that are standing behind the pulpits. It's about time we get a little bit irate with all the termite destruction that's going on in our society. In verse 14 and 22 of the same chapter, we read about the last days, days of deceiving and being deceived, and we'll understand that in the last days, they really are on the other side. Before we get that, I wrote this book called Terrible, Terrible Stories to Solve the Mystery of Lawlessness. Right there on top, I said, not on the New York Times bestseller list, and never will be. That's part of it. But I want you to know that there's an illustration in here. See if I can find it. I don't even have it marked, but it's coming to me to read about it. See if I can find it here. Bear with me as they've got that scripture ready. Let's see. I think it's in the part I call Tear Toilet Overflow. Now, this book has a section in it to deal with whether or not you're out of your mind. Where is it? Here it is. Now, this is a story in this book about the BTK killer. Have I talked about this from the pulpit before? I have. Well, sometimes I don't remember my illustrations, but there's got to be somebody out there who hasn't heard it before. BTK, that was the title he gave himself. Man down in, where was it, Topeka, Kansas, or Wichita, somewhere down there. He bound, tortured, and killed old women. Slipped into their homes, would bind them, tortured them, wouldn't just kill them, tortured them and kill them. And he did it for years. Well, finally he was caught. And the USA Today newspaper said about this dirty, filthy tear. It says, at Christ Lutheran Church, Dennis Rader was known as a caring man, an usher, who is president of the church council. He was a scout leader, church officer, husband, and father. You want to know why I get just a little bit upset when people are so trusting? I've learned the hard way what you got out there. You think anybody in his church suspected that he was the BTK killer? He was the town dog catcher as well. And so anyway, they finally caught him. Now, I put in the book, I have found that these creatures come to the defense of their own when a fellow tear is found out. Oh, how I found that out just recently. You dirty birds, you bunch together. And you think you're going to take Peter's down. Well, you think again. You're going down, the whole works of you. I personally found this out when certain preachers took the side of an identified murderous, poisonous witch caught selling poisonous milk to a young couple for their baby son. The child suffered immensely and was dying from it, yet certain preachers took the side of the apparent poisoner. I mean, I've lived these things. I know what I'm talking about. Now, this is what Mr. Rader's preacher friend did, as can be seen in the following quote. Lutheran pastor Michael Clark called for Wichita's care and compassion rather than condemnation. They catch this member of his church, and then they says, well, we must have care and compassion for this filthy, stinking killer. What do you think Billy Sunday would have said? Or Brother Worms, are you out of your mind? This is what we have in our land today. For preachers, oh, we got to be loving and caring. Kill him! The law of God says, kill him! You think you get that kind of preaching out there today? No, that's not Christian. Although it's the Word of God, it's not Christian. Because you've listened so long to these shepherds who are destroying the flock. This is what it says in verse 14 and 22. It says, also among the prophets of Jerusalem, I've seen a horrible thing. The committing of adultery and walking in falsehood. And they strengthen the hands of evildoers. So that no one has turned back from his wickedness. All of them have become to me like Sodom and are inhabitants like Gomorrah. What is Sodom and Gomorrah? Filthy faggotville. That's what it is, and that's what America's become. Why? Because of the preachers behind the pulpit. You get a preacher that had enough guts 15 years ago to put out a book called Death Penalty for Homosexuals is Prescribed in the Bible. And then you've got these dirty birds out there wanting to bring him down. And some of you try to throw in with them. Oh, I know. We would much prefer Pastor so-and-so. He's much sweeter and kinder. Like I said before, you might love them now, but you'll hate them for eternity. And you'll despise them on the day of judgment because they didn't warn you. Am I preaching too hard for you this morning? Verse 22 says this. It says, but if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have announced my words to my people and would have turned them back from their evil ways and from the evil of their deeds. When they did not have a calling, but chose their calling, there's a difference, and chose to be a called man of God, a holy man, and hold themselves out as such, they deceive. And when you deceive, this is the danger of deception. You will be deceived. You see in Matthew 23, verse 26, something that I want you to see. Matthew 23, 26. I asked you a question. One time a man asked me this. Who is the most dangerous? The liar or the one who believes the lie? And then I got to thinking about this thing. Who's the most dangerous in this sin of deception? The deceiver or the deceivee? And then I think I came up with the answer. The most dangerous creature there is the deceiver who actually begins to believe his own deception. Because that really makes him a good deceiver. The deceiver that believes his deception really becomes a deceiver to deal with. And now, do these men that are the man, Esau, Edom, the man of sin and lawlessness, do they see themselves as deceivers? I've come to the conclusion, to a great extent, probably not, because of this verse. This verse says, we read, you blind Pharisees, we'll read that. That's not the one I wanted. You blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and the dish so that the outside, it may become clean also. Jeremiah 23, 26 is what I want. Jeremiah 23, 26. And then we're going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 4. And you'll see the point that I'm trying to make here. It says, how long is there anything in the hearts of the prophets who prophesy falsely, even these prophets of the deception of their own heart. Now, this is very important. Leave it right there. How long is there anything in the hearts of the prophets who prophesy falsehood, even these prophets of the deception of their own heart? I'm telling you something, you can have some really heartfelt preaching out there, and I'm going to tell you that you can get some good material from them. You really can. I've learned a lot of good things from Baal priests. And I don't say that facetiously, because that's how they deceive. They bait the hook. I mean, if you're going to bite the hook, you got to have something good on it. But what I see in that scripture is that they are deceived from the deception of their own heart. That is the danger of deception. Deceiving and being deceived. A Bible example of this is in 2 Chronicles 18. I want to give you the setting. The king of Israel and the king of Judah, they're making a pact, an alliance, to go out to war together. And they call the prophets together to find out the outcome of that war. Now, a false prophet, a Baal priest preacher, says what you want them to hear. And I've watched them, and I've learned. I've been up close to some of them. And they're very adept at this. They can figure out what you want to hear, and then they know what to tell you. They're very good at that. So they knew what those kings wanted to hear. Well, what do they want to hear? First of all, let's go to verse 4 of 2 Kings 18. We read the story. It says, "Moreover, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, 'Please inquire first for the word of the Lord.' Then the king of Israel assembled the prophets, 400 men, and said to them, 'Shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I refrain?' And they," these men of God, "they said, 'Go up, for God will give it into thy hand, the hand of the king.' But Jehoshaphat said, 'Is there not yet a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him?'" In other words, old Jehoshaphat figured out what he had here, and that was a bunch of lying prophets. Now, were they lying? Were they deceiving? You think about that a moment. So what did they do? They called in a real prophet. And as you read the story, we don't have time to go through it in great detail, but the guy that was calling him and said, "Now come on, Micaiah, do yourself and all of us a favor and tell them what they want to hear." And a true prophet cannot help himself. He's going to tell it like it is, whether they like it or not, whether it means bread and water and the dungeon. He cannot help himself. You see, they are creatures of instinct, but you got to understand that God has another group that are also creatures of instinct, and they're going to tell it. In fact, they love to tell it when you hate it. There's something about it. Take this, shove it down your throat. Well, nobody loves you. Well, but if you love the truth, you can't help it, see? So anyway, we go to verse 10 of this chapter, and it says, "And Zedekiah, the son of Shemaiah, made horns." Oh, this is still the false prophets. "And Zedekiah, the son of Shemaiah, made horns of iron for himself and said, 'Thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Arameans until they are consumed.'" I mean, these guys can come up with some great preaching. You can see this guy, he made himself horns, and he's going around like this. He said, "You're going to gore them, you're going to do this and that." Boy, the kings are really feeling good. Yay, yay. They're like cheerleaders. Yeah, 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 yeah. Get them, kill them. Yeah, yeah, thus says the Lord. Boy, everybody hyped up, you see. And now comes the true prophet as we go on in the story. And I think that is somewhere along the lines of, let's see if I can find it here. 2 Chronicles 18, verse 17. No, let's not go there yet. Let me go here yet. Let me do this. Let me ask you the question. Did these cheerleading prophets, false prophets that they were, did they believe what they prophesied? Why don't you think about that a second? How many say they did? How many say they didn't? How many say, I'm not saying nothing? All right. Well, think about it. Did these false prophets believe what they were saying? I've listened to these guys. I've learned over the years how these guys work. They love to listen to their own prophecies. I mean, they get together. I've watched some Church of God and Foursquare Gospel preachers get together. And they tell about the prophecy that God gave me this one day, and it was coming down, and blah, 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 blah. Had one of them speaking at our conference one time, and he gave this whole long story about how God revealed this and revealed that to him, and this, so forth, and so on. There wasn't scripture one in the whole deal, but man, I tell you, it was quite impressive. I was impressed. How many of you have ever heard somebody give a prophecy, and you're thoroughly impressed? They impress one another with their prophecies. I remember one old Assembly of God, Foursquare Gospel preacher, he's dead now. He always hated baptism. One time he said, oh, that's that old Church of Christ stuff. You know, don't ask me why I had him speak at camp, I don't know. But anyway, because he believed the Anglo-Israel truth, because sometimes we could think, well, if they believe the Anglo-Israel truth, they must be all right. Boy, he came up with this prophecy about America and blah, 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 blah. And this other preacher said, oh, yeah. They listen to each other as they come up with their prophecies. Why? Because they believe their prophecies. And I want to tell you this, because they know their prophecy came to them from another realm. You got to think about that. I'm going to prove it in Scripture. First of all, go to 1 John 4, 1, and then we're going to go to 1 John 4, 2, and 3. Because we are told in 1 John 4, 1, that we had better start testing the spirits. And we read this last message. It says in 1 John 4, 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So we read that last week, verse 1. You've got to test the spirits. And then we also read, let's go to verse 4 and 5 of that same chapter. 1 John 4, 4 and 5. I read this as well. It says, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. Notice, though, it says that you have the Spirit. That's why you don't listen. And that, listen to me, that is why they are so against baptism for the remission of sins, because that is where you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I remember one time, I think it was a Steven Spielberg movie. Brother Word will have to forgive me, because he taught us, we never had TVs, and you didn't even go to movies. But I've gone to some movies now since then. And I think he was probably right. But anyway, they do tell stories in movies. And I forget the name of this one movie. It had to do with aliens. But these aliens always stayed away from the lakes. They always stayed away from the water. Do you know which one I'm talking about? Because water would destroy them. And so it is with the water baptism for the remission of sins. They know it will destroy them. It will reveal them for what they are. And that's why you have that 1 John 1, 1 John 4, 1, and then I read verse 4 and 5. But you might have noticed that I left out verse 2 and 3 last week. So let's read verse 2 and 3, because some of you probably said, well, he left that out on purpose. No, I really didn't, because we didn't have time to cover it adequately, so I figured I'd catch it in this message. Let's read 1 John 4, verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you've heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. Next, we're going to go to Mark 13:6. So, now you don't think that these false prophets, these trees that bear bad fruit, you don't think they come and bring you their prophecy in the name of Jesus? Yes. They come and they bring the prophecy in the name of Jesus, and the Word of God says, by this you know the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. Now, oh, this will be a good one for some of you dirty birds that like to bunch up and think you're going to bring Peter's down. Get this one and record it and send it out there, you dirty birds. You can't trust every spirit that comes from the throne of God. Let that sink in, these Assembly of God, Foursquare gospel boys that love to listen to their prophecies and they give it in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you how deception works, and I've learned it the hard way, and you better get it. If you don't want to end up being in that deceived crowd where Jesus said, depart from me, because you'll sure be in it if you follow these deceiving, lying preachers. I thank God for a little opposition because it fires you up a little bit. You lying Baal priests. Now, I pointed out in that booklet that we have called The Revealing the Man of Sin that there's two groups of deceivers. There's the one that denies that Jesus came in the flesh, but there's the other one that proclaims him as Jesus. This is what Mark 13:6 says. It says, many will come in my name and say, I am he, and will mislead many. And they come in the name of Jesus, and they say, Jesus is the one. And then they'll give you the prophecy that they got, that they believe, because they believe the deceptions of their own heart. And they'll give it to you in the name of Jesus, and you'd better not fall for it. So what are you talking about? Well, let's go back to this story. They have a lion spirit sent to them by an agent of God that they believe, and they get you to believe it. But does not Scripture say that those who will not receive a love of the truth, God will send a deluding influence? Certainly. If they're not going to say receive a love of the truth, a simple truth, and let me tell you how simple it gets. Here's how it was. I mean, God makes it simple. In the beginning, God said, don't. And the devil said, do. See how simple that is? So they listened to the devil. In the new covenant, God said, do. And they say, don't. In the new covenant, God says, do be baptized for the remission of sins. Do be immersed underwater as a repentant believer for the remission of sins. You might receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And they say, oh, no, don't. So, they have a deluding influence. They won't receive a love of the truth. They're going to have a deluding influence. Let's go back to the story. It's 2 Chronicles 18, verse 8. Now comes along the true prophet, Micaiah. And they bring him in after these 400 and some false prophets had all their prophesying. And in 2 Chronicles 18, 18, and then we're going to go to 1 Timothy 4:1, just so you know. But Micaiah is brought in. And he is this lone prophet, kind of like an Elijah of his day. And this is what he had to say. He said, then the king of Israel called an officer and said, bring quickly Micaiah, Imlah's son. Now the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, were sitting each on his throne, arrayed in their robes. And they were sitting at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gates of Samaria. And all the prophets were prophesying before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Shemaiah, made horns of iron for himself and said, thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Armenians until they are consumed. And all the prophets were prophesying, saying, thus, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and succeed, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the king. Then the messenger who went to summon Micaiah spoke to him, saying, behold, the words of the prophets are uniformly favorable to the king. So please, let your word be like one of them and speak favorably. But Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, what my God says, I will speak. And when he came to the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I refrain? And he said, go up and succeed, for they will be given into your hand. Now, then the king said to him, how many times must I adjure you to speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Now, what did he do? He used sarcasm. He mocked, just like Elijah mocked the Baal priests of old. He was imitating those false prophets, and the king knew that he was using sarcasm. And so we read on in the story. It says, so he said, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each of them return to his place in peace. Then the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil? And Micaiah said, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and the hosts of heaven standing on his right and on his left. And the Lord said, who will entice Ahab, king of Israel, to go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said this, while another said that. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. And the Lord said to him, how? And he said, I will go and be a deceiving spirit in the mouth of his prophets. Then he said, you are to entice him and prevail also. Go and do so. Now, what did you just have the preacher read to you? Confirmation of what he just told you. And that is, you better not believe every spirit that comes from the throne of God, because God will send a lying spirit if you'll not receive a love of the truth. Yes, I believe that those prophets, false prophets, 400 and some of them, cheerleading with their horns on their head, believed every word of their prophecy. They got it from another realm, a spirit, and they believed it in their heart, and they were prophesying it. Just like these deceivers will give you their prophecies. Now, it gets a little complicated, doesn't it? Well, what are we to believe? Well, believe me, it was a spirit that came from that throne, and God said, I will see to it that you are deceived if you won't receive a love of the truth. And it says in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 and 2, we read, and then the next scripture is going to be Deuteronomy 13, 1. And then the one after that is going to be Mark 13, 22. When you got it, let me know. But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, by means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. God still tests the hearts. Do you love me? Oh yeah, Lord, didn't you hear us sing about how much we loved you this morning? He'll still test to see whether or not you love him. And he tests you with the false prophets, who are so good at deception because they themselves are half the time deceived and believe in their own lies. Well, what am I supposed to believe? You know, I'm a pilot, may not be much of a pilot, but one thing I was taught was you believe the gauges regardless of how you feel. When you find yourself in the clouds, you better start looking at the gauges. You might feel like you're going up, down, whatever. You simply look at the panel and you believe what the panel says, which is the Word of God. And if they are saying anything different than what the Word of God is saying, regardless of how they make you feel, you better go with the Word. Amen. Sometimes you got to fly by the instruments, not by the seat of your pants. Deuteronomy 13 talks about how God tests. It says in verse 1, if a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, we talked last week about false wonders, and the sign or the wonder comes true concerning which he spoke to you, saying, let's go after other gods. Now, they can use the name of Christ, but they're sending you after another god, because this Judeo-Christian nonsense is not the God of the Bible, whom you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or of that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall follow the Lord your God and fear him, and you shall keep his commandments. Listen to his voice, serve him, and cling to him. And we could read on there. You ought to sometime. Here's the word. You listen to it. Regardless of what they're saying, this is what the word says. As I said last week, how is it possible that you can spend 40, 50 years in the ministry and have all these revelations from these different spirits, and you can't figure out the simple thing that the Lord said to do? And you tell people you don't need to do it. That thing of the Shibboleth test that I have preached to you, you better take to heart, or you'll end up in that deceived crowd. And it occurred to me, wow, why? I admit, somebody can be mistaken. But it occurred to me, if they really genuinely believed after all these years in baptism, remission sins, wouldn't they have gotten rebaptized? Duh. Mark 13:22. It says, for false prophets, false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show signs and wonders in order, if possible, to lead the elect astray. And so it is, they do just that. Holy Spirit men, gifted spirit men, tongue-speaking men, how is it you can have this Spirit tell you this or that and you can't see the simple teaching of Scripture? Learn to hate the deceiver, a 2 Thessalonians. That's a group of men. They are deadly dangers. They deceive us in a lot of different ways. And I don't have a lot of time to cover all these ways now. One is they deceive us by letting them pray over us. What do you think about that a little bit? A lady wrote to me and said, actually she wrote to Richard. Says, hello, Richard. The recent series on deception has helped me to clarify my thoughts on something that happened a few years back. Without having all the data that Pastor Peters has, I came to a similar conclusion about the following. One day, a very dynamic older woman just showed up in the church I was attending. She claimed that she was a prayer warrior and overcomer who had been sent by God to heal the church. After the first service she attended, she went up to lay hands on a troubled woman from our congregation whose daughter was very seriously ill. S.M., the mother, was depressed and anxious, and B., the newcomer, laid her hands on S.M., claiming great blessing for her. Shortly after that, S.M. left our church, her depression and anxiety now having been given birth to nasty unfriendliness, which persists to the present day. In the weeks that followed, B also prayed in a loud, boisterous way for several other people in our church. One young woman who was prayed for soon left the church. The young woman's health problems got worse. B also prayed for a woman with debilitating illness and another woman who had most of her life spent in a mental institution. Both of these women got worse, and to the best of my knowledge, are even worse today than they were back then. Finally, B started mentoring another young woman and almost led her to a breakdown. Thankfully, this last young woman prayed intensely and found that God was guiding her away from B. She was now has broken contact with B and sees her as a bad influence. Among other things, B has never fully given up the Catholicism of her younger years. As of 2 years ago, she still prayed to one of the Catholic saints, and she frequently spoke for the unity of Catholicism. Some time ago, I began to develop the view that B was probably unconsciously a terror who had very clearly not been sent by God to heal the church, but rather sent by Satan to harm people. Can you people receive this? This is especially so because I believe the church is being led to reject many of the standard teachings of Judeo-Christianity and may be evolving into something approaching an identity perspective. I somehow knew that it was no accident that those who were prayed for by this woman seemed to get worse or even cursed. But it took Pastor's sermon on deception, detection, to clarify my thoughts on this matter. I was amazed to find that I had come to the same conclusion he had come to, only without as much knowledge and understanding. I will be praying that all the curses intended, directed to SFAW, will continue to be transformed into blessings. Well, way more here, and time is running out. For those of you out there, I say to you, this is the fourth sermon in what's turned out to be a series. The first one was deception, detection. The second one was deep deception. The third one was the deceiver shall be revealed. And this is deceiving and being deceived. I have a booklet that I'm going to preach a sermon on called the I Am Confessional. I preached it out there in Branson. And basically the book is about being able to confess what we are in Christ. And then I realized, just putting this sermon together yesterday, I got to change this booklet and put a warning in there. And this is the warning I wrote. Warning: the I Am confessions are only for those who are actually in Christ. We are not in Christ until we are baptized into Him, Romans 6:3 and Galatians 3:27. Unless you have been following the following I Am confessions are not true. If you obey Acts 2:30, they are true. If you have not and you confess the I Am confessions, you are confessing a lie and believing a lie, and God will send you a deluding influence so that you believe a lie. You will deceive yourself and reap the last day phenomena of deceiving and being deceived, as it says in 2 Timothy 3:13. In other words, these I Am's are for those that are in Christ. If you're not in Christ and you start making these confessions, they're not yours to make, and you're confessing a lie. And if you believe a lie and you confess a lie, God will send you more lies to believe. Believe me, it's deceiving and being deceived. And let me tell you why you have never prayed, some of you, though you heard me say there is a prayer that is the deception detector. Let me tell you why some of you here and some of you out there have never prayed, Lord, forgive me for being deceived. You want to know why? Because you are so deceived that you don't think you're deceived. That's simple. It's deceiving and being deceived. One man wrote to me and said, Pastor, your messages on deception are powerful these past few weeks. I've been praying the prayer you recommended about repenting of any deceptions that I'm currently unaware of. And you're right. Anyone who thinks they aren't deceived are just that, deceived. It's one of those truths that should be painfully obvious to everyone, but we tend to be blinded to it by pride. I'm not proud that I'm an expert in being deceived. I'm a bit ashamed, as I said. But I'm not so proud that I'm going to hold on to it or that I'm going to fail to tell you that we have come to that time. God's going to tend to those false shepherds and is going to be revealed. And if you don't want to be in that deceived number, then repent of being deceived and receive what I'm teaching you about deception. I know it's a little hard on you. And some of you are putting some two and twos together. Well, you better. I had to put them together myself. But it's truth. Might be hard to take at first, but it'll be sweet in the end. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray for the revealing of this man of sin. Oh, continue to pull the scales off the eyes of the people and let him be seen. Let the people of this land see the Baal priests for what they are and what has their land because of them. Whether or not they're sincere or not makes no difference. A lie is a lie, and it's prophesied. A prophesied lie is deception. Oh, Heavenly Father, let us be found loving you. You who are the way, the truth, and the life, loving the truth so much that we would turn away from the lie and come back to the light. Oh, Heavenly Father, bless this message. And now in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would take and bless those that are yours. May he bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you and lift his countenance upon you and grant you peace in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message by circuit riding preacher Peter Peters from the LaPorte Church of Christ, located at the base of the beautiful Colorado Rocky Mountains in LaPorte, Colorado, has been scripture for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network and is available on CD or DVD and is archived at the website scripturesforamerica.org. Remember, circuit rider, preacher, and teacher Peter Peters broadcasts live nightly from his Wyoming radio ranch, nestled in Wyoming River Valley. It's a working horse and cattle ranch where circuit riding preacher Dr. Peters reaches the lost sheep of the House of Israel worldwide on satellite, internet, and shortwave radio. Dial settings 5755 and 9480. 24-hour, 7 days a week, web broadcasting website, sfawbn.com. Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network is made possible by the prayers and tithes of the faithful. If you want to write to circuit riding preacher Peter Peters, this is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. Or you can visit us on the web at www.scripturesforamerica.org. The preacher back this way next week and hopes you will too.
Jesus' table all the